Today we are continuing in week three of our study, six-week study through the book of Malachi. I'm excited about the word that that God has laid on my heart for us today. We've been talking for the last 2 weeks, and I titled this message series Wholehearted. The problem with the people of God in Malachi's day was that they were worshiping God. They were serving God half-heartedly. You've done stuff half-heartedly, right? You don't have to raise your hand. Okay, it's okay. You go to work some days and you're not fully there, right? Present in the body only, maybe, you know. Sometimes you go through the motions of doing stuff in life. If you remember having a teenager, you understand what half-hearted means, right? So you understand that, right? So, you know, it's kind of one of those deals where if we're not careful, religion, our faith, our worship of God can quickly turn to something we do half-heartedly. We can just kind of go through the motions. We can just kind of get up, well, it's Sunday, I'll walk through the motions, I'll come and do this, and just kind of make an appearance, if you will. The people of God in Malachi's day were very much walking through the motions. They were doing what they were supposed to do, kind of, but really doing it with half their heart. The book of Malachi, my goal in our six-week series in this is to, number one, recognize where we might do things half-heartedly. Secondly, though, is to provide a remedy for us to become wholehearted again, for us to fully worship God, for us to fully serve God and do so with all that we have and all that we are. So we talked about, unfortunately, when you get to a place where you're half-heartedly serving God, you begin to, like the people of God were doing in the book of Malachi, you begin to question God, don't you? And the first question they asked him in the first chapter was, God, how have you loved us? What a horrible question for the God of creation. God says, I have loved you. And the people said to God, how have you loved us? And God reminded them that he had loved them because he had been merciful to them. He had shown them mercy time and time again. And he had also shown them that he loved them in his faithfulness to them. He had been faithful to them over and over again. Last week we talked about the priest offering half-hearted sacrifices. They were bringing animals that were lame or blind and all, just kind of going through the motions of sacrifice, but not giving God their best. We're called when we go to God to give God our best, the first fruits of all that we have, the best that we have, and they weren't doing that. And God said to the priest and to the leaders, he said, leaders, you must lead the way in sacrifice. You must set the example. You must give something that cost you something, and the people will follow after you. He said, now people who aren't leaders also need to be aware, leaders as well, that we can easily fall into the trap of self-deception. We talked about self-deception. Self-deception is believing that everybody else has sin and yours isn't that bad. Nobody's ever had a problem with that, right? We realize we struggle with that sometimes. He said, don't fall into that trap. Understand that we're all sinners. God in his mercy, God in his faithfulness through his son has forgiven us. So that's where we are today. And so what we find here today is another example of a priestly duty that is falling short. So I've titled today's message, Honor to His Name. We sang about His name a lot this morning on purpose. The name of God, honoring the name of God. What does it mean to honor something? It's bestowing value on something. It's giving worth to something. If I'm going to give honor to God's name, I'm going to give it value. And that means I can't treat it flippantly. I can't treat it lightly. You know, even in the Old Testament days, the people of God would not even write or say the name of God. They treated it with such honor. They stood in reverence before the name of God. And you're going to hear that a lot in our text today as we look at God's word about how we stand and how we honor God's name. Now, unfortunately, we sometimes have to look at a negative example first of how not to honor God's name. And then we can turn that around. And I'll leave you with some application today of how we can still today bring honor to the name of our Lord. So let's open up our Bibles if you haven't already. Malachi chapter 2. If you don't have one, we'll have the words up here on the screen for you. Have the verses. We're going to read verses 1 through 9 today in Malachi chapter 2. Let's read this together. And now, O priest, This command is for you. If you will not listen, if you will not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send the curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Indeed, I have already cursed them, because you do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will rebuke your offspring and spread dung on your faces, the dung of your offerings, and you shall be taken away with it. So shall you know that I have sent this command to you, that my covenant with Levi may stand, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant with him was one of life and peace, and I gave them to him. It was a covenant of fear, and he feared me. He stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and no wrong was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned many from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should guard knowledge, and people should seek instruction from his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But you have turned aside from the way. You have caused many to stumble by your instruction. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. So I make you a despised and abased before all the people, inasmuch as you do not keep my ways, but show partiality in your instruction. May God bless the reading and the teaching of his word. Now, just a light, you know, lighthearted verses, right? Pretty lighthearted. Sarcasm, folks. It's very heavy, right? I mean, it's very direct, isn't it? This is not light. God is speaking some hard words to the priest. He's speaking some hard truths to the priest here about their responsibility, about their role in leading the people of God. Now, I like Spider-Man. You're like, where did that come from? I like Spider-Man, okay? I enjoy Marvel movies. I admit that. If you watched Infinity Wars, it didn't fare so well for Spider-Man, but I won't spoil it for you, okay? So if you didn't, you're like, I don't know what you're talking about. It's okay. Spider-Man has a great saying. You remember the saying about Spider-Man? With great power comes great responsibility. That's Spider-Man's deal, okay? Great power comes great responsibility. So I came up with one for the priest. I came up with a tagline for the priest today, okay? This is their saying. With great responsibility comes the possibility for great judgment. Wow. Now, I don't know if I'd want to put that on my business card. With a great responsibility comes great judgment. Now, what do I mean by that? Those who are called to lead, those who are called to teach, those who are called to offer up sacrifices, the New Testament is full of examples on this as well, are held to a standard that if that standard is not met, God has said in his word that there is a judgment on that. Why must I get up every week and your Bible study teachers get up every week and be prepared? Because if we take the word of God seriously, if we take it at its word, we realize that those who stand and speak and proclaim the name of God must be held accountable for their teaching. I better not get up and just stand half-heartedly. And get up and preach half-heartedly, not preparing my heart. God, forgive me. God, rebuke me if I do that. So what's happening here is we've got a group of people who are doing just that. They're getting up and forgetting the responsibility that they have as teachers and leaders. You know, you think sometimes about the priest in the Old Testament. If you just think of the old examples that you know, most of the time we think of the priest as just being the ones who did the sacrifices. They were the ones that came in. They had to do the dirty work, if you will, of preparing the sacrifices and getting everything ready to put on the altar. And then they knew all the rituals to do all the things. But there was a second part of the priestly duty that is often overlooked. The priests were actually supposed to read, teach, and keep the law. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 9. Way back in Deuteronomy, says about the priests, they observed your word, they kept your covenant. They shall teach Jacob your rules and Israel your law. And then, yes, they shall put incense before you, they shall do. But you can't miss the first part of that. They're called as priests to teach, to tell the word of God to the people. Now, I've got to put the book of Malachi back in context. You remember, the people of God had been gone. They were out in Babylonian captivity for 70 years. There was no temple worship. There was no temple, for that matter. There was no place for them to come and worship. And yet, now they had come back. The temple had been rebuilt. Worship was beginning again. Who was supposed to be taking the lead? The priests, teaching. They'd been ignorant. The people had been ignorant. They hadn't heard the word of God for many years, possibly. And so they were supposed to be teaching it. It doesn't look like they had done a very good job with it, based on what we see in Malachi. The sacrifices weren't being done correctly. And now it seems that their teaching wasn't being done very well. So what does God do? Well, you see it here in God's word right here in front of you. God's frustrated with them. I think that's putting it mildly. He's frustrated with them. I need you, priest, he said, to take this stuff to heart. I need you to do more than just give me a yes. I need you to take it. What does it mean to take something to heart? It means to put in place, put in action something that you value, something that has authority. In other words, if I'm going to put it to heart, if I'm going to take it to heart, I'm going to say, you know what, that's worth doing. That's worth paying attention to. Surely God's word is worth paying attention to and worth our time. And they're saying, I need you to take this to heart. Don't just pay it lip service. Oh yeah, Lord, I'll do that when I get around to it. Saying, I need you to take it to heart. Now, all this stuff sounds really harsh, doesn't it? It's like, dude, you're going to be cursed. Your kids are going to be cursed. You're going to, all these blessings, I've already taken away all your blessings. All these things are going to be gone. And you're like, God, why are you so harsh on your priest, why are you so harsh in your language? I want you to think about this. Do you want to rebuke gently people that you love? Think about your kids. Am I showing them love and kindness when I rebuke them, when I correct them? You bet I am. Well, I was like, you know, kids, go play in the street. I'm sure it'll be fine. You know? No, it's not what we do. It's not how we... Hey, kids, it's not safe there. Come out of the road, you know, come over here. I don't yell at them to get them out of the street because I'm mean. I yell at them because I love them, and I don't want anything to happen to them. Do you see God's love here in his rebuke? That's what we miss a lot of times. God rebukes those that he loves, doesn't he? He's rebuking his priests. He's saying, I love you, but you're failing miserably. It's time for me to call you back. I want you to take this to heart. I'm going to take you back to chapter 1. I've already shown you how much I love you. I've already shown you how much I have mercy on you. I've already shown you how much that I care for you. And my faithfulness endures from generation to generation. And I want you to give glory to my name. I want you to remember to give glory to the name of God. Verse 3 is a tough verse. It mentions dung. You're like, I don't usually hear dung in a sermon. Well, today you are. It's in there twice. Okay, there you go. He says, I'm going to put dung on your face. Okay, give it dung of your offerings. You're like, what in the world is he talking about? Why are we talking about dung in church today? Didn't know you were going to get that when you got here this morning, did you? It's a bonus, okay? All right? It's very symbolic. And it's very symbolic. I think it'll make more sense. When an animal was prepared for sacrifice, and they brought it in, and it had to be ritually prepared, you understand that there are parts of the animal that are unclean. I won't go into great detail with you, but if you've done deer hunting or fishing, you understand there are parts of the animal you don't keep, okay? So, but when they prepared the offering, they took the unclean parts, and they placed them in some sort of basin, and they took them to a place way outside of the city, okay, and they put those there. That was the unclean place. And what you may not have noticed in verse 3, if you still have your Bible open, I hope you kept it open for me. He says, at the end of that verse 3, he said, you shall be taken away with it. The taken away with it is actually literally means taken away to that place where the unclean things go. It's the same word that was used in the Levitical law, that taken away. What happens out there is a place of uncleanliness. ceremonial. Now, I know we struggle with this because we're like, I don't understand clean, unclean. I don't understand all that. You have to understand for a priest, if he was unclean, he was unable to perform the duties of the priest. So he's saying, God is saying, I'm going to take you to a place that is just perpetually unclean. I'm going to rub it on your face. I know that's gross, but I'm going to make you unclean. You're unfit for service. Now, why would he say, I want you to understand how serious God is about failing to live up to the calling that they had. They were failing miserably, and God said, I cannot allow that. I must punish it. And why is God so tough on the priest? Why is God so difficult? Why is he so adamant that they must do these things? Well, I'm going to teach something today that you may not have heard. So today's a little teaching heavy. I understand that. I don't always do a ton of like just teaching and going reference, but I want to do that today because I think this is absolutely vital to our understanding of this verse. And so stay with me just for a few minutes and let me show you something about verses 4 through 7. Verse 4 talks about this covenant with Levi. A covenant with Levi. Now, you may have heard of the Moses covenant or the Abraham covenant, maybe even the new covenant in Jerusalem. Jeremiah, a lot of J words, okay? But you may not have heard of the covenant with Levi. So I want to share this with you because it absolutely makes this passage of Scripture that much more powerful and that much more beautiful. We have to take God's word as a whole, okay, and we have to learn from it. So there was an instance way back in Exodus where God's people sinned against him. Moses goes up on Mount Sinai to get a word from God. He's getting the Ten Commandments there, okay? He's gone up there a long time, and he comes back down, and what had those nasty Israelites done? They built a golden calf. You remember the story? I learned about this one on felt board, you know, when I was in preschool. Did y'all have felt board at your church? Okay. Did they have that at Grace here, Ben? Okay, we had felt board at Grace. So, I know, you learned the story about the golden calf and came down and Moses is angry, you know, and it's bad. The people have sinned. There's a detail of that story that I admit I had forgotten. Started looking at it this week. Moses comes down from the mountain. He's angry. He says, who stands with God? Who stands with the Lord against this idolatry? And there was a tribe that came and stood with him. It was the tribe of Levi. There in Exodus. If you look, Exodus chapter 32, here it is right here. These are the ones that came. Moses said to the tribe of Levi after they were obedient, today, speaking to the tribe of Levi, you've been ordained for service to the Lord. Each one at the cost of his son and brother, so he might bestow, here's that blessing word, that covenant word, so that he might bestow a blessing upon you this day. You see the beginnings of this. The people of the tribe of Levi stood against the false God and stood up for what? The name of the one true living God. They said, Moses, we will stand with you. And Moses said, because you, tribe of Levi, have stood with me, I bestow a blessing upon you, a blessing, an ordination of service. Fast forward a little bit, Numbers, the book of Numbers. We meet a priest named Phinehas, not Ferb's brother, but Phinehas, okay? If you watch cartoons, you got that reference. If not, I lost you, okay? Phinehas, a priest. It was Aaron's grandson, Phinehas. The people of God were being seduced by the Baals. Remember the Baals? They always show up in the Old Testament. Baal of Peor was this one. The Moabites had come and said, oh, worship our God. And some of the Israelites, oh, yeah, that sounds good. They always seem to do that. They went and they worshiped the other gods. And there was a call for someone to stand up for the name of God. Guess who stood up for the name of God? Phinehas, the tribe of Levi, stood up for the name of God. We find it recorded in Psalm chapter 106, what happened. So the people yoked themselves to Baal, as I said, of Peor, and ate sacrifices offered to the dead. They provoked the Lord to anger with their deeds, and a plague broke out among them. Then Phinehas stood up and intervened, and the plague was stopped. And look at verse 31. And it was counted to him as righteousness from generation to generation forever. You see the continuation of the covenant. That's one of the things we miss when we look at this verse in Malachi. We say, what is this covenant with Levi? The covenant with Levi was that from the beginning of God calling people to stand up for his name, calling people to honor his name, the tribe of Levi has been faithful to stand and serve God. And in these few examples, we see where God began to establish his covenant with them. Why would he do that for the priest in Malachi's day? Sometimes we need to be reminded, don't we? Do you need reminding sometimes? I need reminding. I'll raise my hand. I need to be reminded sometimes of the good that God has done for me, the faithfulness he's shown to me, the mercy that he's shown to me, the love that he's shown to me. Sometimes I need to be reminded of the calling with which I've been given, the calling with which I've been called. And he's doing that right here for the priest. He said, priest, I want you to remember the covenant that I gave to your brother, your father, your grandfather, Levi. Verse 5 is very telling. My covenant with him was life and peace. I gave it to him. It was a covenant of fear. He feared me. And the last sentence, and I think says it well, he stood in awe. He stood in awe of what? Do you see it there? My name. He stood in awe of my name. So Malachi, God is saying through Malachi to the priest, you've forgotten what it means to stand in awe of God's name. You've forgotten what it means to stand in a healthy dose of fear, trembling under fear. And not that God would destroy you, because he could, certainly, but because his name is worthy of honor and praise. And so you stand here, he said, this is what I promised to Levi. He said, well, that makes sense. The only problem I have with this is, Justin, I wanted you to know I'm not a priest. Oh, okay, thank you. I realize that. Nobody here said, well, I'm a priest today. No. So, well, I thought the priesthood went away, you know, with Jesus, and I thought all that was done. We don't have to do the animal thing anymore. We don't. Thank you. I was thankful for that, you know. I'll draw you real quickly to a New Testament principle, though. Priesthood of all believers. The priesthood of all believers that's talked about in Peter, it's talked about in Hebrews. Look at verse 5 of 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter's talking to the church, and he's speaking to the believers. He says, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy, there's that word, priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices accepted to God through Jesus Christ. Verse 9 says, you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. You may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. You understand, for us today, we carry on much of the role of the priesthood through our relationship with Jesus Christ, the priesthood of the believer. Now, our role looks way different than an Old Testament priest. I know that. But what I want you to understand today is there is application for each and every one of us here, because in our succession, in our post-Christian, in the way in which we follow through under the teachings of Jesus Christ, there is much for us to learn here today as well. You lose so much of this passage if you just apply it to Old Testament priests. Don't get me wrong. That's exactly who he was talking to. But it speaks to us today, and it answers a simple question. How can we continue to honor the name of God? How can we today continue to honor God's name? Good news is, Scripture answers the question for us. We find it here in verses 6 through the end. And I'm going to give these to you, and you're going to go, this is not new. You're going to say, I have heard this 1,000 times. I'm asking you to hear it again. I'm asking you to be reminded of two great truths. The first one is simply this. How do we continue to honor the name of God? We speak the truth. Look at verses 6 and 7. True instruction was in his mouth. No wrong was found on his lips. Verse 7. For the lips of a priest should guard knowledge. He says later in that verse, people should seek instruction from his mouth. What is he talking about? He's talking about how we speak. He's talking about speaking the truth. He's talking about instructing properly. He's talking about words that literally just, yeah, come out of our mouths. And they strike a contrast all throughout the end of this, under this section of falsehood. We speak truth, not falsehood. And what we notice is this is the part that this is the part that really got me this week. In verse 6, the end of verse 6 says, with his speech, with the words, with his walking, he turned many from iniquity. He turned many people from their sin. The power of our words, the power of the Word of God, the spoken truth, the written truth, the read, all of that has the power to turn people from their sins and turn them to Jesus Christ. There's a second part to it, though. We've also got to walk in integrity. See, this is word and deed, isn't it? Word and deed. It's very difficult to have one without the other, isn't it? He mentions here in the verses, he says that Levi also walked with me in integrity. He walked with me in integrity. He did. He acted. If my words are sweet and full of truth, and my actions don't line up to that, folks, I've ruined my witness. If my actions are good, but my words are worthless, the same thing. Do you understand that we need both of these things together? What's the danger of not doing this? We find it here in verse 8. He said, you, priest, current day Malachi priest, have turned aside from the way. You have caused many to stumble. There's that word many again. That hit me this week. I have an opportunity, you have an opportunity to influence many people. That word many is many, okay? I can speak words of truth and walk in integrity and call many people to change, to repent, to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ. But I can also do the opposite, and I can cause many people to stumble. There's many people who say, I would go to church, but the people that I see outside of these doors who claim to be members of a church don't live any better or any different than me. Lord, forgive us if that's true. It's not hard for us to do holiness inside of here, is it? This is not normally where we struggle. Everybody's doing pretty good. Most of you are awake. Everybody's good right now, you know. This is not where we have trouble speaking truth, is it? Or walking in integrity. It's out there. It's at our jobs. It's on the ball field. It's in our cars. You understand that we bring honor to his name when we live outside of these walls by speaking in truth and walking in integrity. And what we do in those two things impacts many people. One of two ways. God, forgive me when my words or my actions or both have caused people to stumble. God, may we instead, in our words and our deeds, cause many to turn in repentance to Jesus Christ as Savior. You think, well, that's easier said than done, Justin. I don't know if you haven't walked in my shoes. You don't know what I've got going on. No, I don't. I know one who has. And there's a beautiful reference in Hebrews to the great high priest, Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26. We'll close with this. It was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and then for those of the people, since he did it once and for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints men in their weakness as high priests. That's us. That's the priests of the Old Testament, right? In their weakness. But the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. You understand that by the blood of Christ, by the forgiveness that he offers us when we confess our sins and believe on him for salvation, we have the benefit of a great high priest, which Scripture teaches. There's so much more in Hebrews. I wish, you know, there's so much more about this great high priest who gives us the power and the strength to do the things that in our humanity we are unable to do. When we become a child of God, he fills us with his Spirit. His Spirit dwells within us, the Spirit of the great high priest. And I have the power to speak truth. I have the power to live in integrity. And folks, I want us to walk out of here today not lightly taking these words, because I don't think they were meant lightly. They obviously were meant seriously. They obviously had some seriousness to them. I want to walk out of here and say, Lord, I understand. As a child of God, as a child of the King, I have a calling. And what I do, how I live, how I speak, impacts those that I meet every day. Lord, may I call people to you. May I draw people to you and not cause them to fall away. Let's pray together for just a moment. Again, a lot of text, a lot of scripture, I know, a lot of teaching today. But I pray that God's word shines through even in my weakness and even in my shortcomings, that it would shine through, that you'd understand what God is calling us to, this wholehearted service, this wholehearted, God, I want to give you my best. I want to speak my best. I want to live the... I want to do that. Lord knows we're going to fail. Lord knows we're going to stumble. We have a great high priest who's forgiven us. If we are a child of God, we have an opportunity to, what, to impact so many people. Lord, forgive us when we don't. Lord, I just ask you to come into this place today. I don't know what's stirring in the hearts of people. I don't have to know. You know, Father. So I just ask for the next few minutes, God, if people need to come and pray, people need to come and just confess, repent, God, I pray the altar would be an open place for them today. Lord, I pray that our people would know that they can come, they can be prayed over at our prayer partners. Lord, just let there be a freedom in this place to, Lord, people just to respond to what it is that you might have said to them today. Maybe they need to respond for salvation, God. For the first time, they need to say yes to you. Lord, we just simply pray that you'd have your way. We'd get ourselves out of the way. We'd get distractions out of the way, Father. And you'd speak in this place today. Come, Holy Spirit. We pray it in Jesus' name.